So, significance. Significance is, as I've mentioned a few moments ago, one of these traps that many people can fall into in life. Have you ever known anyone who has become more addicted to their rank or their role or the position that they have, or being the guy or the lady at the top of the castle, the top of the food chain? Do you know what I mean? Right, have you ever watched any interviews on YouTube or some of these social medias where people who are in the public eye, rich and famous, they've made billions of pounds or billions of dollars, they've got all the chart-topping albums, and then you have a like an intimate or you see an intimate interview with them, and they'll say things like, "I'm lonely. It's a little bit lonely at the top." And you can see that they're barely clinging it together because many people do this, all right? How many young people today are, they spend hours each day puckering up, doing all the selfies, doing all this stuff, trying to present and show the world how fantastic their life is and how they've got it all together, whereas behind the scenes they're literally falling apart, insecure, all right? People prioritize significance over growth, and this is a dangerous path to take in life. I'm going to share with you an interesting story, an example. Do you remember the story I shared with you last section about the guy I was coaching, the footballer who went on to become a football coach, a sports coach for the next generation? Well, it was actually one of the times I'd been away coaching him. And I'd finished the coaching session and I was driving from Dundee back to Dunfermline where I live, and I stopped at one of the Tesco's stores to pick up a lunch deal, right? Some sandwiches and stuff like that. And as I was getting my lunch, I just about bumped into, or this rather large guy just about bumped into me with a shopping trolley. Now in a shopping trolley, this guy had around about 22-litre bottles of full-fat Coca-Cola, and he had a whole load of bags of these pretzel snacks, which seemed to be on special offer. Now these pretzel snacks came in two different flavours, and I'd actually had a few bags of them a couple of weeks earlier, so they were rather tasty. They were really, really quite tasty. So me, being a natural conversationalist, I just complimented the guy on his ability to choose well. I said, "Here we go, man. Before you run me over, I just want to congratulate you. These pretzel snacks sure are mighty tasty. Good choice." And that was just like one of these throwaway comments that I made in the what I thought was going to be in the passing. But then, obviously, sometimes you give a person an inch and they'll take a mile. This guy, I'm not saying that he was a loner or a social recluse, but I'm just saying that he literally engaged in a full frontal conversation. He just started offloading at me, talking at me. This was by no means a dialogue. This guy who went into kind of hardcore monologue here, started telling me all about how it is that he purchases bottles of Coca-Cola and these pretzel snacks, and he takes them to the cinema, which is where he goes most days. Now, I'm going to be straight, I wasn't interested in the slightest. I was about as interested in this guy telling me his story as most likely what you are in me telling you this guy's story. All right, but the story then on story continued to evolve. He went on to tell me how he has a membership card at his local cinema that gives him unlimited cinema passes every single month for £15 a month, something like that. And he said that they have this Facebook group, and this Facebook group kind of has a score chart or something like that, where him and all his movie buff pals or associates, they will log, and they've got to take photographs of their cinema tickets, and then they log how many movies they go to watch every month. And the reason why the guy had bought all these bottles of Coca-Cola and pretzel snacks is because it would save him a fortune from buying full price cinema snacks. And then he went on to tell me that he's currently at the top of this leaderboard. He'd been to see something like 35 movies this month so far, and it was only like halfway through the month. And I'm sitting there, oh my goodness. I had my hanger on. Do you know what I mean by hanger? All right. Well, I went to Tesco's for my lunch. I was getting hungry, and when I get hungry, I get a little bit agitated and frustrated. And this guy was boring me to tears. And I felt like just being my true, authentic self, acting with integrity, and telling the guy, "Listen, pal, I don't really want your life story. You're boring me to tears. but I didn't, all right? I chose to exercise a little bit of compassion instead. I was pro-unity, pro-peace, all this kind of stuff. I thought, I'll choose to remain connected with the guy and hear him out. So I started kind of wondering what the guy was actually trying to tell me here. Because what the guy was seriously focused on was, you know, how he was at the top of this cinema goers score chart, scorecard. And it kind of really got me thinking about a story that I'd heard a couple of years earlier. And this story was about the day of the Twin Towers, September the 11th, all of those years ago, when those planes had been hijacked and flown into all sorts of landmarks around the US. And obviously a lot of people lost their lives that day in those absolute man-made tragedies. And I remember I think it might have been Tony Robbins actually who told the story, and he went on talking about human values, and he was actually talking about significance, believe it or not. He said, you know, that day, although we can only surmise, you know, what is it that would lead a person to hijack a plane and fly it into a national landmark and potentially kill thousands of people? Well, I'm guessing that the only reason why a person would do something like this would be if they genuinely believed that it was a significant thing to do with one's life. Now, obviously, I'm not justifying anything here. That was a vulgar, you know, a vulgar act of terror. Absolutely, absolutely, completely unnecessary. But remember, all right, everyone is operating out of a set of beliefs about how life should be most and can be most effectively lived. And we already know that many people define themselves by their religious beliefs and their religious ideologies, right? This is a cultural thing. Doesn't matter if it's Christian, Islam, Hindu, Buddhist, whatever, atheist, whatever. Doesn't make any difference, right? People act out of accordance with that they believe. So let's just say that, you know, those people who flew those planes into those buildings and killed all those people that day done so because they saw it as being a significant thing to do with their lives. But then on the same day, especially in New York around the Twin Towers, how many hundreds of men and women, you know, firefighters, police, put themselves in risk's way to approach this zone and with the goal of saving people's lives? So you've got, on one side of the fence, some people who are completely dedicated to killing people and taking life because they potentially see this as being a significant thing to do with their lives. But then on the flip side of the coin, you've got some people who will put their own lives at risk for the purpose of saving life. Well, I'm guessing the only reason why we would do something like that would be if we saw that as being a relatively significant thing that we can do with our lives. You know, I joined the army at the age of 16 because I saw that as being a significant thing to do with my life. We don't make decisions, we don't do things in life unless we believe them to be significant, and we certainly don't take risks unless we believe these risks to be leading us towards accomplishing something of significance. Now, this doesn't justify anything, but it does help us to understand human behaviour. All right, so let's backtrack. Let's go back to the guy in Tesco's who's telling me all about his pretzel snacks, and it was like the scales fell off my eyes. I could see what the guy was actually telling me. The guy wasn't actually telling me about how many cinema visits he'd had that month. What the guy was actually telling me was how significant he was by being at the top of this leaderboard. That might just have been the only aspect or area in his life where he drew significance from. What I'm saying is, desperate people can do some desperate things. When a person feels completely insignificant, they can sometimes do some completely unimaginable acts for the purpose of being seen as significant. All right, so again, these stories don't justify anything, certainly don't justify any cruel, heartless decisions that have been made, but it can help us to understand people, which as life coaches is something that we need to do. We've got to look at sometimes the reasons why a person will remain in their secure job or in a marriage or in a social club, or some people will remain committed to a certain religious group for years. Why? Because they get a little bit of rank or a role or something like that, and they see themselves as being significant. And if you think about it, have you ever been in a job for an extended period of time? Well, no one likes being the new person, do they? You know, if you think about it, I remember joining the army, I would get called rookie, newbie, things like that. And even once I'd been in for years, if I was to move to a different squadron, you get treated like you're, you know, like you're way down there just because you're new, right? People get comfortable, you know, in security, don't they? So, I've been here for 5 years. I'm one of the significant ones here, all right? And it's not that they're one of the significant ones, really. It's just that they're one of the more comfortable ones. They've been there the longest. So, when we are pro-significance, what we're generally not pro is unity, all right? And unity is an interesting value, especially in times as such as these. Let's look at some of the political issues that are going on around the world right now. Here in the UK, we have Brexit. We have the Great Britain as a nation voted to leave the European Union. The European Union that was set up after the Second World War for the purpose of preventing another world war from ever happening. And now Great Britain, our great British people, are saying, no, it's time to leave. We've learned all the lessons we needed to learn from the past. We'll never make those mistakes again because humanity never, never makes the same mistakes that it's made in the past. It always learns, doesn't it? Oh, no, it doesn't. All right. So we've got Great Britain wanting to separate from Europe, saying we are better independent on our own. But then in Scotland, we have this undercurrent of wanting another referendum, another independence referendum. So Scotland as a nation, right? Many people want to separate from the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom wants to separate from Europe. Everyone says we'll be better off on our own. All right. Debatable, to say the least. I don't know about you, but what I've found in recent years, especially through business, you know, building some of the projects that we've built, such as Ecology, I certainly couldn't have done that on my own. There's a community going on over there, and it's a good community, and people are coming together from all around the world. They are learning together, they are growing together, they're becoming friends. I've heard stories of people from, you know, different sides of the globe getting together, becoming unified in purpose, starting initiatives together, working together. You know, the Ecology board of directors, for example, are situated in, I think, around about 5 different countries around the world, most of whom haven't even met, but come together unified in purpose. And what I'm going to boldly state here is that as a people, we can certainly and most definitely accomplish more when we will but work together. I'm 100% pro-unity. But let's tie this in with the choice of maturity and character. The immature man, the immature woman says, I am better standing alone in isolation. I am an island. I don't need anyone. I am suffice. I am absolutely okay for accomplishing everything that I want to accomplish in life. However, the humble person says, you know what? Yes, I have some skills. I have some abilities. I can do some things well. But when unified with other people, we can accomplish even more. Let's revisit the fish philosophy, can we? Because we can. We give a person a fish, they will eat for today. Or give a man a bag of pretzel snacks, he'll eat for today. Teach a man how to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime, which is okay. But when we, as human beings, learn how to teach other people to teach other people how to fish, we can end world hunger. This is certainly not something that any man or woman can do independently on their own. All right, changing the world is a unity goal, isn't it? When we will but share of our time, our experiences, the lessons that we've learned, and this is pretty much what I'm doing my best to do throughout this course. I don't want to give you an academic experience. I don't want to give you a load of theories, all right? There's plenty of organizations out there that will give you the tools and the techniques, and they'll give you some accreditation, and it will all mean zip, because the tools, the techniques, and the information will not give you insight. The insights that you can build into your life for the purpose of growing and changing and experiencing a greater degree of freedom and personal liberation within yourself that will ultimately give you peace, knowing that your life has moved forward and that you have progressed. Not just financially, not just professionally, but also hopefully in the context of the connections and the relationships that you have with other people. Because life is all about balance, isn't it? Life is all about balance, and when our lives do become balanced, we tend to live from this place of peace. I don't know if I've done core values any justice whatsoever. I've shared a few stories, I've given you a few examples, all right? But I am not here to tell you what's right or wrong, and I'm certainly not here to tell you what to tell your clients is right or wrong, all right? What I'm saying though is when we understand ourselves, when we understand what we're driven by at the core, it sets us free to make wiser and better informed decisions. Understanding that all of these values live within us all of the time. And this isn't it. This is just some. All right? In the videos that follow, I'm going to introduce you to a workbook that's going to really, hopefully, enable you to become better acquainted with your own values and your own priorities. It's not that as human beings, we have different values. We don't. We've all got this stuff going on inside of us all of the time. The only thing that differentiates me from you and you from me is how we prioritize our values. All right? When we say things like, I just can't understand why this person is acting like this. I just can't understand why that person is behaving like this. I can't understand why this person is just living life in such a destructive way. It's because of their values. And because of what they're prioritizing. So as a life coach, guess what? You now know where to look. Can I remind you of this story? You know, since setting myself up as a life coach, I started out, you know, charging maybe $35, $40. But, you know, over the years, people have paid me, you know, up to and in excess of £1,000 for a coaching session. All right, and I've received it. Why? Because different people have different capacities and abilities to pay. All right, and the reason why I tell you this is, remember the story of the captain on the oil rig in the North Sea, and he had this problem going on in his rig, and he didn't know how to fix it, didn't know where it was. He himself wasn't a mechanic, so he called up one of the engineers from offshore, and then flew him in, and it was going to cost him £100,000 to fix this engine, this bit of machinery that they have. And the engineer ended up spending, 10 minutes tinkering around. He flicked on a few switches, flicked them back off again, and then that was it. The engines were back working. And the sea captain of the oil tanker said, so surely that price doesn't remain. You know, yes, you've given me the result and the impact that I wanted to have, but, you know, you've only been here 10 minutes. So surely that can't be just for your time. And the engineer said, you're right, my time is £100 an hour, but the lifetime that it's taken me to know where to look for this answer, that's worth a hell of a lot more. So my friends, please take this serious, right? When we start understanding ourselves on this level, when we become aware of ourselves and what it is that's driving us, we become far better versed at making wiser and more well-informed decisions. Self-awareness breeds self-management. And what's self-management all about? It's all about making wise decisions. When we get better at making decisions of this nature in our own lives, we become more impacting throughout society. And the more influential we become throughout society, the better we become then at in our ability to manage society and other people. As a coach, as a practitioner, as a teacher, or whatever you go on to become. Core values, my friend, please take this stuff seriously. Is there any that I've missed out? No, there isn't. I think we've just about wrapped this up. I think we've got this covered. All right, but listen, this is a conversation you can have for days. If I was hosting a workshop or an event on core values, I could talk about this for literally 7 days. Why? Because every single one of these values that I've highlighted here outworks itself in different ways in every single different aspect of our life. The question for you is how? How is it that you are currently pursuing or prioritizing security over freedom? In what of your relationships are you currently prioritizing connection over authenticity? And what is this costing you? In what areas of your life are you not taking the risks that you know that you need to take in order to make progress? Because if you're not taking risks, if you're not embracing uncertainty, you're not going to make the progress in the areas of your life that you want to make progress in. And if you don't feel like you're making progress, you're never going to feel like you're growing. You'll never experience the fulfillment that comes through growing as an individual, which results in us experiencing the peace that we all want to experience in life. My friend, growth is exciting, but if you want to grow, you've got to become a person of faith, where you have a vision, you have a goal for you know, your future, for an area or an aspect of your life. But unless you take risks, unless you step out in uncertainty and actually put your faith into action, my friends, you cannot expect any more in your life tomorrow than what you've got today or what you had yesterday. And what's true for you is also true for your clients. These are core values, all right? Very rough, a very broad introduction. And I'm going to probe you and encourage you. In fact, my friends, I will plead with you, all right, to seriously unpack and continue to explore how your values are driving your decisions every single day for the rest of your life. Because the more you understand your values, the more you understand yourself, the more you understand yourself, the better you will be able to understand and relate to where other people are at in life empathically. Are you with me? Is this okay? Hope you found this one useful, and I'll see you again in the next clip.